President Obama is hosting a lunch with House Speaker John Boehner, Majority Leader Eric Cantor, and Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy today. A little meeting of
the
minds.
Only Boehner will be smoking.
Detente. Yes. That's right. Only Michelle Boehner Obama has said that her husband is really quitting this time.
And she wouldn't say it unless he did. She would
John,
not permit that.
John, you are so sarcastic.
No, what? She's tough.
She is.
She wouldn't. He has quit, I believe.
Really?
He has quit. Yes, absolutely.
Wow. John Hockenberry, a believer.
Yeah.
In any case, this is kind of a peace offering from President Obama. He wants to work with the Republican majority in the House, he says. And the White House says they're going to focus on the economy and spending in their discussion. But is that really what the Republicans want to talk about?
I think there needs to be an insurrection here in Washington.
The dadgum government's going to be in everybody's pocket.
By getting Washington out of the way, we can unleash the American entrepreneurial spirit.
Repeal means preventing more than $770 billion in tax hikes.
And it's clear that shouldering America's small businesses with heavier tax burdens and increased regulation will only prolong our road to recovery.
Okay, well, in case you needed to sift through what you just heard, basically what they're all saying is we need to undo what's been done for the past 2 years. Is that fairly accurate, Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent?
Well, there has been a little bit of compromise of late in the Senate, but if you look at the House, Celeste, and what the Republican agenda is, you have to ask the question, are they just trying to go back to the day before Barack Obama was elected president? It seems like that a lot when you look at what the Republican agenda is. They want to repeal significant parts of Wall Street reform, the so-called Dodd-Frank, undo the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gases, return spending levels. The Republican policy in the House is to return spending levels to 2008, before Barack Obama was president, pre-stimulus, pre any other spending that the Obama administration has come up with, and, of course, don't forget about health care. Complete repeal. It never happened. Get rid of it. That's the Republican agenda. So at lunch today, you wonder, what do they have to talk about? Doesn't the president say to them, you guys just sort of wish I was never here?
Well, if he did, that would be quite the headline. Also with us, John Pitney, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College. On the line with us from La Crescenta, California. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right. So is this something that all parties do when they have a split administration, when the White House is one party and the House is another, do they immediately go to battle and trying to undo what the other has done?
Well, this is a very unusual situation because you had first 2 years in which Congress did a lot, whether you agree with it or not. The sheer volume of legislation was enormous. And then suddenly you had this dramatic shift in the House of Representatives, and the new members saw their mission as undoing a lot of what had been done in the first 2 years. And you really haven't had anything like that, at least in many decades.
All right. Well, Todd, there has to be another reason that Republicans give for wanting to roll these things back. I mean, there has to be something else other than we wish Barack Obama had never become president.
Well, Republicans think that this is what the American people voted them into office in the House to do. I got a chance yesterday to put this very question to the Majority Leader, Eric Cantor of Virginia. Listen to his reasons as he goes into lunch with the president today.
What we're trying to say by proposing the spending cuts, by saying that we need to repeal Obamacare and begin to replace it with the kind of health care that Americans want, when we say we've got to look at the impact of Dodd-Frank, what we're saying is the things that were done were so extreme and outside the mainstream of where most Americans were. Let's fix them.
John, I'm just wondering how efficient a campaign tool this is. Should the Republicans move forward with what is called the undo everything agenda and fail to undo everything? Does that help them or hurt them as they move into 2012?
Well, it's a negotiating position. They realize that they're simply not going to get repeal of major programs because they don't control the Senate. And, of course, the president would veto a repeal. What we're going to see is the defunding technique. That is, discretionary spending has to be voted on every year in the appropriations process, and the Republicans simply aren't going to vote for the funds. That gives them considerable leverage. They're not going to get everything they want, but they're going to get some of it.
Well, and Todd, politically, that then helps them?
Well,
to get some of it, what John is saying?
It seems to be what's shaping up right now, if you take a step back, is and I hesitate to say this, but I'll use the term, a little bit of good cop, bad cop, from, let's say, the perspective of the president as they go into lunch today. The Senate is a little bit of good cop. There has been some bipartisanship there. We saw two or three unanimous votes on judges the other day. That didn't get in the headlines, but the last time that happened in the United States Senate was probably years ago. They got deals on taxes, a deal largely brokered in the Senate, that two-year tax extension. So there has been some bipartisanship of late in the Senate. Now, in the House, that's the different story. In the House, it looks like where Republicans lay down the law to their political base. You can call it repudiation. You can call it a rejection of the first 2 years of Obama's presidency. You can call it just opposition or a mandate. But whatever you call it, the House is really the place where Republicans or Tea Partiers or conservatives or some combination of all three say they're putting their foot down against the Obama agenda and really trying to fight against it. Where they land is probably somewhere in the middle.
And is there a constitutional question here, John Pitney, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College? I mean, if the finance measures originate in the House, if they just ignore any finance measure on things they want to defund, is there precedent for doing that sort of thing?
Well, as far as the appropriations process goes, it's a longstanding precedent that the Senate can amend anything from the House. But certainly, when it comes to simply not funding a measure that's been authorized in the previous Congress, there's certainly plenty of precedent for that. Authorize before you can appropriate, but it doesn't work the other way around. You don't have to appropriate what you'd authorize.
Well, Todd Zwillick, let me just ask you, how far are the Republicans willing to go on this? Are they willing to actually defund everything? Are they willing to take this all the way towards opposing the president and defunding laws that exist? Or is this part of their political rhetoric?
Celeste, back in the Vietnam era, one of the ways that anti-war activists said they were going to end the war was to choke off the funds and defund it. And indeed, they started to do that. There are Republicans now in the House saying this is as important as the Vietnam War, and that's why we should vote against funds for health care. Eric Cantor said yesterday, by the way, next week when appropriations fights start, there will be an amendment to choke off funds for implementing health care. So we'll find out the answer to that by middle of next week.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and John Pitney, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College. Thanks to you both.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.